Lobbying Limbo.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. With the Democrats in control of Congress, the lobbying machine known as the K Street Project could be in jeopardy. Maybe, maybe not. Marketplace's Sam Eaton looks at the future influence of money on the nation's political landscape.
In many exit polls Tuesday, people listed corruption and ethics in government as the most important factor in their vote, outranking terrorism, the economy, even Iraq. Fred Wertheimer with the campaign finance reform group Democracy 21 says the voters have spoken.
The bottom line here is the current Congress ignored the concerns of the American people about the need to change the system, and the American people changed the Congress.
But despite vows from House Democratic leader Nancy Pelosi to run the most honest and ethical Congress in history, the power of money isn't likely to go away. Sheila Krumholz is with the Center for Responsive Politics.
The members of Congress need the cash and networking that K Street provides, and K Street needs the access. That's what they sell their clients.
Krumholz says as long as that system remains in place, promises to curb influence peddling in Congress will be tough to keep. I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
It was the biggest art auction in history, worth more than $491 million. Impressionist and modern art was sold at Christie's in New York last night. A group of four Nazi-looted Klimts, which had been restored to their rightful heirs, raked in nearly $200 million. But the sale lost one of its potential stars when Christie's reluctantly withdrew Picasso's portrait of Angel Fernandez de Soto. That's because a second lawsuit was filed, claiming the painting was sold under duress by its owner in Nazi Germany. The first lawsuit was dismissed by a federal judge on Tuesday. Bill Gates is in Brussels today, where he'll press for changes in European patent law. He's lobbying for a single system of patent protection that would cover all 25 countries in the European Union. From London, Stephen Beard reports.
Bill Gates isn't the only one who wants a single EU patent system. Many other businesses have been pushing for it for years, for obvious reasons. At the moment, the cost of getting protection for intellectual property throughout the EU is three or four times higher than in the US. Companies have to file their applications and defend their patents in each of the 25 member states, says Francisco Mignorance of the Business Software Alliance.
That makes a lot of languages, and that makes the cost of filing a patent skyrocketing because of this translation requirement.
But in spite of Bill Gates's intervention, the stumbling blocks to a unified EU-wide patent system remain, and the biggest problem is language. The member states cannot agree on which of Europe's 20 languages the patents should be filed. In London, this is Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
The price of oil is hovering near $60. U.S. light crude is up 11 cents at $59.94 a barrel. The market is concerned about whether OPEC will cut production again in December. Investors shook off a sluggish opening, and at the close yesterday, the market was up. The Dow rose 19 points to 12,176. The Nasdaq climbed 9 points to 2384, and the S&P rolled forward 2 points at 1385. This is Marketplace. Specialty grocer Trader Joe's has 250 stores nationwide, and it's expanding fast. But it's found some protesters in Berkeley, California. Rachel Dornhelm reports.
Today, the Berkeley Zoning Board is scheduled to vote on a multi-use project, including a Trader Joe's. But some neighbors in the semi-residential area are fighting it. They say the developer is using the popularity of Trader Joe's to get a five-story, 150-unit complex approved. Stephen Wolmart lives 250 feet from the site and says he's protesting so the company will ante up for necessary parking and city services.
Under the terms that are offered, we don't think it's a good deal for the city, and we think that it sets a very bad precedent.
Trader Joe's started in Southern California in 1958. In 1977, the owners of German multinational Aldi purchased it. New stores are opening soon in Illinois, Georgia, and Nevada. I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
You're listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, committed to providing financial expertise that helps both our members and our communities thrive. Let's thrive. Thrivent.com. By Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com. And by Reuters, delivering news and information that reaches over a billion people every day. Before it's news, it's Reuters.
This is Marketplace. I'm Mark Austin Thomas. The NFL appears to be hitting on all cylinders. Long-term labor peace, consistent sellouts from Sunday to Sunday, and billions of dollars coming in from television. Yet in California, the league seems to be facing challenges. One is resolving stadium issues. Another is whether to place a team in Southern California. David Carter is the executive director of the USC Sports Business Institute. I asked him why there seems to be an impasse on bringing a team to the LA area.
Well, originally the debate was about where to place the team in our region, but I think because this has dragged on for more than a decade now, the tables have turned and it's become more a matter of financial concern. In fact, if you take a look at how this is playing out, it's really going to boil down to dollars and cents. Most estimates now suggest that placing a franchise in the Southern California area would be about $800 million to $1 billion. And this doesn't even count the potential cost of a franchise coming into this region, which would add a material amount of money on top of that. So I don't know that it's so much of an impasse as much as it has just become a really dramatic financial issue for the league.
It seems like this is a win-win, though. It brings revenue in either to Anaheim or Los Angeles, wherever the stadium would be, and the league. Where's the resistance coming from?
Well, I don't think anybody disputes the fact that the revenue is going to be substantial in Southern California from things like naming rights, from the sale of sponsorship, from the leasing of luxury boxes and so forth. I don't think revenue is really the issue. I think as the costs have escalated, this has really become the issue because the NFL is trying to figure out how do we get our money back out of such a dramatic, such an unprecedented expense on their part. And on top of that, when that owner comes in, the margins will be razor thin because the debt associated with putting this deal together is going to be substantial. So it's not so much about would the team succeed here, but it's can the NFL really make a decent return on its investment in this market?
And of course, if the team doesn't do well, then that's a whole nother economic issue to factor in.
Well, that's really true. There's been a little bit of a track record in Southern California with both the Raiders and the Rams abandoning Southern California, but many would suggest that had more to do with the ownership of those franchises at the time than it had to do with the demand for football in this market.
These stadium issues aren't limited to Southern California. It seems to me that the entire state's wrestling with how to best finance NFL stadiums.
Well, that's right. I think it's the case throughout Southern California that when you want to go about getting these kinds of stadiums financed, it takes tremendous buy-in, both political buy-in and buy-in from taxpayers by extension. And I think what we're seeing from San Diego to San Francisco is that appetite for taxpayer involvement in stadiums, in fact, nationwide at this point, following the elections from earlier this week, getting stadiums done around this country is certainly not easy. Southern California, I think it's even more acute as it is throughout the rest of the state. Real estate is very expensive, and the taxpayer backlash seems to be there. So California is a very difficult place to get these stadiums done, and that doesn't, again, take into account how political this has become.
David Carter is the executive director of the USC Sports Business Institute. We're podcasting. For more information, just visit our website. That's marketplace.org. And in Los Angeles, I'm Mark Austin Thomas. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day.
American Public Media.
The Labor Department.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.